Welcome back to You Can With AI, a seven-part series on artificial intelligence from KPMG that is part exploration, part blueprint, and focused on helping you and your organization fully leverage the AI opportunity. One of the biggest differences between consumer and enterprise AI is the complexity of the systems that enterprise AI has to interact with. To be successful, enterprise AI requires more than just great technology. It requires trust and governance systems. To discuss those systems, we're joined by Kelly Combs, Managing Director in KPMG's Digital Solutions and Architecture team, and a U.S. Solutions Leader for Trusted AI. All right, Kelly, welcome to You Can With AI. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you, Nathaniel. Happy to be here.
Yeah, now this is another one of the conversations that I think is hugely relevant for companies and folks who are listening who are really thinking about operationalizing AI, right? This is where the rubber meets the road. We're no longer just talking about theoretical possibilities. We're talking about the nitty-gritty and often like the sort of less heralded parts of transformation, but parts that ultimately are going to be hugely deterministic in whether, you know, new initiatives and new approaches succeed or fail. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. Maybe to kick us off, though, could you share just a little bit about the perspective that you're bringing to the conversation, what you're spending your days on, and kind of how it shapes your take on AI trust and governance?
Yeah, thanks, Nathaniel. I live and breathe this topic. So I've been focused on AI governance since KPMG launched our first framework around AI governance in 2018. And I've been focused on the methodology for governing AI, adoption of AI, how Gen AI has come into play and is changing sort of the nature of AI capabilities and really accelerating the pace of adoption. And I've originally focused within the more highly regulated industries, so working with some of the tech conglomerates or the providers of AI capabilities, as well as financial services. But I really serve all industries and I've seen all flavors of AI governance. So I'm really excited to talk about what does practical application look like and mean for a number of organizations, whether they're highly regulated or not. And so I look forward to this discussion. I also focus on building and enabling AI capabilities, organizing your data, and identifying the right functional use cases to apply AI and Gen AI.
That's great. I mean, one of the things that I love about that perspective is you're sort of firmly, you know, have a foot in the operational world of AI and understanding how this is impacting businesses, but also thinking about these trust and governance issues, which are going to shape, you know, over the long term, how it gets integrated. So I love that combination. Let's start by, you know, setting up, I think one of the things that makes this topic in particular, relative to all the things that we'll cover across the course of the You Can With AI series, is that this is not a topic that is just the province of companies internally and their internal decision-making. There is obviously that aspect of it, thinking about culture and ethics and trust frameworks and the way that you want to run your business. But there's also questions that are about how governance issues are going to interact with regulations and laws and frameworks. And one of the things that we were discussing before we started recording is that right now we're in a bit of a limbo land, an in-between period as relates to the frameworks and the regulatory standing for this, particularly in the US. Talk to us a little bit about what that means for companies that are trying to dig into these issues and actually figure out how to handle and address them.
Yeah, I think probably one of the most common questions I get asked is, where is AI regulation headed? And so I always look into my crystal ball and try to say, where are we headed? And we're in this land of, we don't know for sure. But there are some key pieces of frameworks as well as regulatory pieces that are serving as anchors that can guide an AI governance framework and areas of focus that organizations should think about. So first I'll say there's no prescriptive federal legislation specific to how to govern AI or what's expected when you use AI in the context of making decisions for end users or consumers. So in the absence of that, we see a little bit on the state and local side where some states have said in high-risk scenarios, you must have auditability, transparency. You must consider aspects such as bias and discrimination. And you must surface up transparency in how you made a decision if you used an AI solution that impacts an end consumer. So we see pockets of that, as well as the EU AI Act, which is sort of like the GDPR for AI, that is very conservative and, again, takes a high-risk use case approach on what are the responsibilities an organization has when developing, designing, and deploying AI solutions. So what we've been doing for a number of years is trying to keep a pulse on where are we seeing these pockets of legislation and regulations pop up? What are the common themes across them? And then designing and anchoring around a set of common principles, such as fairness, transparency, accountability, and making sure that our clients are designing their frameworks with those common principles in mind while we keep a pulse on where we think AI regulation's headed. And that's probably the best we can do today while we continue to see legislation evolve, is how do we best prepare and how do we create a governance framework that's aligned to our organization's values and the speed and the pace that we're using AI internally for our own employees and embedded within our products and services to our clients and consumers.
And so you touched on this, I think, quite a bit already, but I'd love to hear more about what it means or what are the parts of a governance framework, right? When you're talking with a client, especially if they're starting from a relatively sort of zero state when it comes to AI governance, what are sort of the pillars? What are the anchors? What are the parts of a governance program that they need to be thinking about?
Yeah. Well, first I'll say some are just starting and that's common. And that's just, you know, where some organizations are at. Others have already started, but with Gen AI coming into the picture, it's also a good way to refresh. Is our governance framework covering the right aspects now that we see a lot more AI as a service or third-party AI? So whether you're just getting started or you're saying, given the emerging capabilities out there, agentic workflow and Gen AI in general, we need to reevaluate, is our framework covering the right components? Now's a good time to start thinking about that. When we think about what are the components of a governance framework, again, many organizations have an AI policy or are starting to create policies, procedures, standards on what's the permissible use or expectations we have for AI. There's a lot of work also being done around roles and responsibilities because AI is truly cross-functional. It's one of those technologies that impacts legal, third-party risk management, the functions in and of themselves, data, technology. So aligning on who's involved in what aspects and where and how do we mitigate risk across those roles and responsibilities is really important. And how do we set up the right constructs and forums, given the emerging nature of AI and Gen AI, so that we can continue to have the right stakeholders involved to evolve our processes, our frameworks, our procedures is really important. So we see a lot of AI risk working groups in tandem with how does the risk working group align to the AI strategy and the vision of where the capabilities are headed in the organization. And then maybe the fourth core component of AI governance that I would say is this idea of how do we start to instill technical controls in how we architect and use these solutions. So think of, are there ways that we can control the user's experience to make the output more accurate or make them understand how information is being given to them? Are there ways we can look for and detect more proactively data leakage in some of these solutions? People injecting bad prompts and assisting them with what's the right way to ask a prompt to get the right output or a more accurate output aligned with how you want to use the information. So this idea of, can we instill technical controls, not just processes and procedures and manual methods, but how do we architect AI to be more automated in nature and also assist the user in how they can understand and consume the information?
And so presumably this is in the same way that AI is both an internal change force as well as an external facing force. I imagine that governance frameworks also need to consider both sort of policies and procedures as relates to internal use and how employees are doing their jobs and how work is structured, as well as external facing and how the company is interfacing with its customers. Are those sort of fundamentally different areas of exploration? Are they all integrated? How are people thinking about where those two meet or diverge?
Yeah, I would equate it to, what's the level of risk? So a lot of organizations are using these tools for general productivity in relatively lower risk areas. You know, we're willing to use it as a way to augment human activity, not replace it, but assist in how we work so we can work more efficiently. In areas where we're touching our products or our services or our consumers, those tend to be areas that organizations think are more risky because the impact of something going wrong is greater. And so we talk a lot about how do you put the right governance and more governance when the risk warrants it. So right-sizing governance processes and procedures, not everything is treated equally, but you set a foundation of expectations and a policy and processes for everything, including internal use. And then as you start to introduce more risk because of the data or because of who you're impacting or if it's external facing, how do you layer in additional processes or technical controls commensurate with that risk? And so that's an area we like to focus on because it also helps say we don't need to treat everything the same or in an equal way. Let's focus our efforts and our resources where we have the biggest exposure potentially.
And how much is there, or is there, I guess, a tension between top-down desire for governance frameworks with natural employee experimentation or you know, desire to try new things? Where do those ever run afoul of one another, I guess?
I think there's a ton of tension there. And you know, we often work with who's driving the AI capabilities in the organization. It's typically a CIO, a CDO, a head of data science, and their whole job is to build cool things and put them in the hands of employees. You know, and then you've got your risk function hat on saying, how do we do that in a way that's responsible? And in some ways, we're concerned about giving AI solutions or specifically Gen AI to users that are not skilled in understanding how to interpret the results or how to interact with AI. So with Gen AI, I think we've started to introduce a little bit of fear and rightly so, a lot of excitement around what Gen AI can do, in that we're bringing data science closer to business users. And so we have a responsibility to educate those users on what expectations we have for them and upskill them in how can they use it to augment their job for productivity reasons, but also not expose us to additional security or data or privacy related risks. So there's a tension there. We're often building foundational governance and starting to test and learn with the tools in lower risk areas. And as we upskill the organization, as we create more knowledge around Gen AI and its capabilities, then we start to experiment with adding more complex or higher risk areas based on the pace and how quickly the organization wants to move. At the end of the day, there has to be both this idea of we need to allow experimentation, we need to create avenues to innovate. If we truly want to adopt these technologies, we need to put them in the hands of everyone strategically. But at the same time, we need to set guardrails and technical controls to monitor, are people doing the things we're expecting them to do?
It's interesting. So you a couple times you mentioned upskilling, and my next question was actually going to be how much you think that upskilling and the organization's sort of responsibilities to its employees vis-a-vis supporting their exploration of and learning around these technologies actually should be part of this governance conversation, not just sort of floating off somewhere in left field and in L&D, but actually kind of a core part of the consideration as we're designing these governance frameworks.
I think scaling is absolutely essential. You know, here at KPMG, we have digital and data literacy pathways based on your role, what level of proficiency you want with data and AI and insights. I think it's vital to create training on the capabilities and set expectations if it's part of your strategy to adopt these tools and really change your ways of working. There has to be both the how do I use the tool in parallel to what are the expectations and the responsibilities I have when I'm using the tools. So a perfect example of that is training on how to use Copilot or on how to do good prompting. And then as you use the tools, there's certain training requirements on the policies, the procedures. When I log into our chat at KPMG, which we call AIQ, there's a splash page reminding me each time I log in what our policies and procedures are around using the tool, data, how that information can be shared, et cetera. So I think it's important to have the skills training on capabilities and what are the right ways to ask the right questions to increase usage of the tool, while reminding them along the way that, hey, we have these policy expectations and you have to safeguard information and data and understand what role human in the loop plays in oversight around the output of these tools.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you look, one of the things that has been most consistent in surveys of employee Gen AI usage, really for the last year, year and a half, is that there's a large amount of, Ethan Mollick called it secret cyborgs, basically people who are using these tools and not really reporting it in. And one of the things that it's felt like to me is that the behavior has stayed the same, but the reasoning for it might have shifted. I think a lot of it in the early days was just not being sure exactly what was and wasn't allowed. I think now, in many cases, it's perhaps an encroaching sort of slowness or a gap between the availability of tools and sort of someone's general life versus what's made available to them at the workplace. But what's interesting to me is that in either case, governance actually becomes potentially a solve for that rather than an additional barrier. I think, you know, this is a classic sort of misconception, I think, is rules equal sort of less ability to do things. Whereas in this case, my instinct is that organizations that have better articulation of what is and isn't expected and ground their employees in that probably have a lot more experimentation and sort of just usage because people aren't questioning what they can and can't do.
So I have a couple of thoughts around that. The first being, I think we have to change our mindset that AI is a bad thing, right? Or that we're hesitant to use it and reset our expectations that anywhere where people and technology meet, AI is going to be there. And so if we set that expectation that AI is everywhere and can be anywhere, then we truly understand we need to educate our employees on what that means and how they become aware of that. So that's kind of the first piece. And then the second thing that you were alluding to was around this idea that governance is a bad thing. And the point you're raising is governance can also mean to some organizations, not creating barriers for users, but how do we create common languages and common tools for efficiency purposes? So it's not efficient to procure, you know, 20 different LLMs or Gen AI enabled tools. It is efficient to create a playground, an approved tool set and say, if not there, do it here, right? In our company approved tools with our company approved data and providing them a commonality of tools and platforms and processes to use actually allows for innovation, but in a more efficient way. And so that's been one of the conversations we've had with a lot of clients in, you know, turning off and blocking external services. We know people are doing that. We can set a policy, we can block them from doing those things, but then we also have to provide them somewhere to experiment and play that is approved and a number of tools and common processes to do that. And once we've done that, governance doesn't seem like a bad thing. It just seems like a byproduct of creating the right environment for folks to use.
You know, it's interesting. As you were talking, I was also thinking, you know, so kind of the theme that we're in right now is governance as enabling rather than as restricting. And another piece of this is, okay, so if we build off from this idea that part of the challenge for employees is there's sort of disparity between commercially available tools in their general life and what sort of passes muster from an enterprise grade security and compliance standpoint and all that. The other aspect of governance that could be an acceleration force, in addition to just letting employees know what they can use, is the better equipped to adapt to changing opportunities that an organization is, right? The better able to integrate new opportunities, new tools, to be able to review, to be able to actually have those governance frameworks and process where they can look at something that is state of the art and say yes or no based on real information and existing frameworks, rather than just sort of having to kick that can down the road. Probably it closes, I would imagine it starts to close the gap between, again, what has been approved and is available and, you know, what people can get with their Gmails, for lack of a better way to frame it.
Yeah, and I think that's where many are saying, are there a certain set of tools we can start with that we can approve and get through our processes and give access to everyone and then give visibility as part of our strategy of where we're headed and where we want to go and how we will continue to evolve this changing vendor landscape? Because even in the past, you know, year and a half, we've seen huge changes, and we continue to see the vendors try to provide who has the best and most accurate LLM. So that won't go away, but architecting in a way to say, we have a process to govern these things. We have a process to vet tools. We have a process to deploy them, maybe starting in lower risk areas with a path of how to get more comfortable and add more of our data or go into higher risk areas. I think it's that visibility and that tying what's our strategic roadmap for AI and Gen AI and what's our vision with how do we govern in the right way at the right time that's allowed organizations to be successful to date. It's okay to say we're not comfortable using it in these scenarios, but we have a path and a vision for how we're going to get there. People can accept that. And people have an eagerness to use the tools now. So again, providing them approved ways to get started with a path of where we're headed, I think is really important at this stage.
I think that that piece that you just touched on of a vision for where this is headed is one of the areas where we see the biggest trust gap between employees and leadership, which is just a concern that there is a divergence between how employees might think about AI and agents in particular, especially as agents come online, which we haven't really talked about yet, and how leadership sees them, right? And obviously, I think that at the core of some of this concern is, you know, fear for jobs and what the future is going to look like. But I think more broadly, there's just this question of trajectory, right? And how whatever these new policies are fit into a longer term plan. And it sounds like what you're saying is one of the best practices maybe that strong organizations are implementing is actually trying to articulate a kind of vision or a pathway for how these things are likely to evolve, at least in terms of how the organization thinks about them, even if they can't predict changes in technology.
That's right. And one thing I'll add on the sort of tension between what's the strategic direction for AI, what's leadership's vision, and how does that impact me on an individualized level is that we typically like to say AI won't replace your job, but people who use AI will replace people who don't use AI. And so again, it's that changing in mindset around AI is going to be everywhere. It's already appearing everywhere. Let's expect that, right? Let's not wait for that. Let's just set that as an expectation. And let's set as an expectation that these tools will be available. You should become familiar with using them. And the fear should be more around not using them over that it's going to replace the work that you actually do today. Because I still think we're a long ways off on capabilities. Of course, agentic workflows is showing a lot of promise in moving from individual tasks or pointed insights into optimizing a process end to end. But the reality is AI is here to augment what we do. And so we need to get comfortable with what that means in terms of our skills and expectations in working with AI.
Who are the stakeholders that need to be involved in these conversations? Like, what does a strong governance organization look like in terms of who has input into that and leadership over it? You know, we've been talking very broadly about employees and leadership, but what are we talking about specifically when it comes to functions or roles or just perspectives that are being brought to this conversation?
As I mentioned a little bit earlier when we were chatting, this AI is truly cross-functional. It's impacting all functions across an organization. So creating an AI construct where, you know, you have a group oriented on the strategy and the vision, which could be led by technologists with business sponsorship as an example. And then on the governance side, it's having risk partners such as third-party risk management, legal, tech risk, your chief risk officer's remit, operational risk functions that are risk-oriented with involvement from functional stakeholders as the use cases and the proliferation of AI impact their area. So what we typically see is your risk working group helps define who manages what risk associated with AI across the lifecycle of AI in a working group format. So it's really clear because AI will touch legal, will touch data, will touch HR, who's involved when and who has the say in how we mitigate and evolve our processes. And then the strategic group is helping say, this is where we make decisions on technology vendors, how fast we want to deploy, what investments we want to make. How do we measure the effectiveness of outcomes? Are we achieving what the business wanted? And so those groups should be connected in that the strategy and how fast we want to go and where we want to go, the risk partners are informed and helping risk assess what's the right governance we need when as we drive that strategy forward. But those are typical roles and responsibilities. But really, we see multiple working groups that are tied together, oriented on strategy, governance, and risk primarily.
And I think that we've been sort of assuming this, but it's maybe worth articulating out loud. Presumably, this is not the type of thing where we're talking about a one-time process to come up with a governance policy that then lives and is fixed. This presumably has to be pretty iterative, ongoing, and sort of a new body of work that doesn't really have an endpoint, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think some of the working groups we've seen have been stood up for a while, and they're saying, wow, we actually need to reevaluate, are we governing the right things in the right way at the right speed now that Gen AI has come to the forefront? So these working groups need to be iterative. They need to have a mindset that the technology landscape's evolving. We were talking about LLMs. We've seen the product stack evolve a lot. Now we're talking about agentic workflow. Those things have different complexity levels associated with them and different risk profiles. So how to create the right construct that can orient on what's the foundational governance we need now? And then how do we keep evolving the emerging nature of the risks? How do we evolve based on where regulatory guidance is headed, which is kind of where we started at the beginning, if you will, right? And how do they continue to realign and rebaseline expectations across the organization? The other thing I'll add is that, you know, there's no one right level of governance for an individual organization. Governance means different things to different organizations, and it needs to be tied to your risk appetite, your values and your ethics and your strategy around AI. And it needs to be right-sized to your organization, your industry, and where you want to go and how fast you want to go. And so we also say these working groups, there's not one right answer, but it's what's the right answer for your organization. And how do you define that? And how do you continue to reevaluate in a mechanism that's going to be sustainable?
We've talked a lot about core principles of governance and sort of some foundational aspects of how companies are thinking about this. But for the companies that are years deep now in these sort of governance processes, maybe they're like you guys who started, you know, pre-Gen AI and then had to adopt to Gen AI, but they're existing frameworks that they're using and iterating upon. What are the types of issues that they're thinking about right now and sort of middle of 2025 looking forward? Are there particular concerns, new forces that weren't anticipated, new aspects of the discussion? You know, I'm trying to get a sense of just where kind of organizations are at a more advanced level with governance.
So some of the more mature organizations, I've worked for a couple of tech conglomerates in this space, is honestly, they have so much AI. So how do they focus governance in the right places that are the highest risk? And they're actually looking at how do we federate our framework into tools that our engineers can use to embed in our products. So for example, if fairness is a framework that we've established on what our expectations to measure and monitor is, we create a framework, we create a tool, and then we allow our product engineers to apply that tool in the right context of their products. So trying to federate governance in a more automated and mechanical way than just having processes and policies and procedures, given they have a lot of AI at scale. The other areas of focus we see is some of the principles that have been under-focused are around like safety and security, especially with the rise of Gen AI data and privacy. And so kind of a renewed focus on, in the past, we've been really focused on accountability, transparency, explainability, and fairness or bias. Those more mature organizations feel like we've got a good starting point, but maybe they haven't focused as much time on safety and evaluating human impacts of using AI or security and some of the cyber threats and attacks and data poisoning that can happen and privacy. And so as we think about using AI as a service, what are the implications around our data in these services? How is it being shared or not shared? And how do we control that aspect? So kind of shifting their focus on principles that we've been talking about for a long time to focusing on the underserved principles to make sure that they're building out their governance in the right ways, focused on new emerging areas of risk. Those are probably the key focus areas in more mature organizations. And again, they're still evolving with where's Gen AI headed? Like they've had AI and machine learning for a long time. Where does Gen AI agentic workflows fit into that broader strategy? And how do they figure out what's the best tool to use when and where and in which scenario? still is a big part of the conversation as well.
Super interesting. Well, Kelly, really appreciate you taking some time today. Any final thoughts to leave with people who are trying to kind of wrap their heads around how to think about governance in the age of Gen AI?
I would just go back to this idea that, you know, we have to expect AI is going to be everywhere and it's going to change ways of working. Governance should be risk rated, associated with the context of what we're doing. And as you've mentioned, Nathaniel, governance is going to evolve and we should expect that. And we should create this appetite where we want to learn, we want to test and play with the capabilities. At the same time, we want to set expectations for how to do that in the right way, in the context of our organization and at the speed we're comfortable with.
Well, thank you for all of these thoughts. Really great stuff, and appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you so much.
This has been You Can With AI. Check out all 7 episodes and learn how you can better integrate AI into your organization today.